This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to What the
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, What the Puckers, to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is the off-season for everyone. We missed last week, but we're back here. There's plenty of stuff going on in Caps World. Thank you for listening, no matter how you're doing it, whether it be on Stitcher, on iTunes, or on whatthepuckcaps.brandocash.com. Thank you for enjoying your freedom of speech from the Brando Cash Network. Joining me, as always, via Skype, we got Coach Dan. What's going on, man?
Not too much. How you doing?
I'm feeling good because for the first time ever in the history of What the Puck, news has broken the day of recording, not the day after where it seems like, hey, these guys recorded and they're already behind the news, but news actually broke today in Caps World. We're going to talk about it right now. Carl Alsner, a guy that you've been talking about, was the number one guy to sign. He officially signed his contract with the Capitals today, a four-year contract. It seems like George McPhee agrees with you. He's being the most important one to sign because we saw guys depart and we saw other guys that are still kind of floating out there in no man's land right now. But Carl Alsner right now, he signed a 4 years. How do you view this deal? Do you think George McPhee got the job done?
I think that he did a fantastic job getting this deal done, not just because he locked him up for 4 years, but that he locked him up for, it comes out to a $2.8 million cap hit per year, which I think is fantastic for a guy who is not only your top pairing defenseman, one of your best defensemen, if not your best overall defenseman on the team. I think he's done a fantastic job here. This is the thing that kind of bugs me about McPhee, not to sort of go off on a different kind of a tangent here, but like he goes out and makes these great deals where he's able to sign one of his top defensive defensemen, his top defensive defenseman, to a four-year deal at $2.8 million per year. But then he goes out and he gives a guy like Joel Ward, who I like Joel Ward, but he just paid too much. He gives him a four-year deal at $3 million per year. Like, just, how come he keeps going back and forth? I never quite understood that one. But I think the Alsner deal is great. I think it's fantastic to have him back. I do think we're going to see him continue to play with Mike Green going forward because I do think that is the best combo they can sort of have for those guys unless John Carlson starts playing like, you know, John Carlson and going forward. So I like it. I think it worked out the best. I think right now we're starting to see the defense sort of come together. I think the top four guys are certainly locked in. It'll be interesting to see what they do with the fifth and sixth defensemen. I guess we're sort of going into the training camp in September.
Yeah, you know, we gotta give some credit to George McPhee. He was a guy I brought up a few times, and I think his names are, or his days are kind of numbered here in DC for the Capitals. But when you see him do something like this, I mean, it shows what this guy is really capable of. I mean, Carl Alsner, he is an amazing talent, and he's definitely not a talent you want to lose because he is a great defenseman. But with a great defenseman, it carries a very big price tag. But George McPhee kept that price down, you know, to a relative. Good amount. He's given himself some wiggle room. He's still got money left over, so he can work with signing Marcus Johansson. But Carl Alsner, man, this is a steal for the Capitals. George McPhee worked his magic. It sounded he did make a comment earlier today that Carl was like, "This is how much I want," and McPhee was like, "Hey, I'm cool with that. Yeah, let's just do it that way." So I'm sure it wasn't that easy, but he made it sure sound like it was. But man, what magic this guy's working. It's very obvious that the players have respect for him. At least the ones that are staying in town have respect for him and know how this business works. But George McPhee, got to give him so much credit for this signing. Congrats to the Capitals. This guy locked in for 4 years. That is a great deal for the Capitals and the fan base.
Well, it's got to be easy to sign a deal when the guy comes to you and gives you such a low cap hit when as good as he is. I mean, you got to think as McPhee, you go in and you're like, okay, God, this is going to take up a lot of my cap space. And he's like, all right, I just want $2.8 million. You're like, wait, what? All right, I guess we'll take that one. That's not so bad. I think especially for 4 years to have such a low deal when you're going to have to be re-signing other guys in the near future that you really want to have around like Braden Holtby and a couple other players, I think this is a great deal for the team. McPhee certainly did his job here, and he does deserve the credit for being able to keep him around.
I mean, just look at the magic that they've done just this year. I mean, you've got John Carlson. He's locked in for a couple more years. Now you got Carl Alsner locked in. You got Holpe locked in. You got Nuvi already signed there. And again, you've got wiggle room. So really, this team looks pretty good on defense right now. It's going to be a wrecking ball next season, hopefully, if everything works out correctly. It's going to be a great team to watch. This is going to be very exciting. So, a lot of stuff to look forward to. Welcome back, Carl Alsner. Glad you're still a Capital. I have to think personally that maybe the last time that Carl Alsner went to the free agency, maybe that weighed a little bit on his mind. Because if you remember correctly, I think it was 2 years ago, Carl Alsner tested the waters of free agency and kind of wanted to see what else was out there. And he didn't get that many nibbles, so he just kind of signed for the same price that he had originally.
Well, he was a restricted – I don't mean to interrupt you, but he was a restricted free agent, so it's a little harder. And I've noticed, unlike the NBA, where restricted free agents still get snatched up as easy as anything else, in the NHL, it seems like a lot of guys don't sort of pull that. I mean, you still have teams out there like the Flyers that will try and pull some crap like that and try and sign someone to a huge deal like they did last year with Shea Weber. But a lot of teams sort of leave their restricted free agents alone. I think you see if a team is unwilling to bring a guy back that you end up seeing them get traded. But I don't think that was ever going to be the case with Carl Alsner. I'm still just shocked that he was able to be re-signed for such a low cap hit.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I'm saying. Maybe the last time he was out there and kind of saw what other teams may or may not be offering, he was kind of like, maybe I need to be more reasonable with George McPhee and ask for a price that is something that, with this new cap space, is reasonable for him and it will give me a comfortable living as well. So maybe the reason why his demands were so low was because when he did look into the free agency market last time, it was something that he didn't want to really pay a lot of attention to. So he knew he had a good home here, and that he was going to be able to work with the guys. So anything could have happened, but this is a great signing. The defense is much stronger with Carl Alsner staying with the Capitals. So that's big news there. Let's kind of switch gears here a little bit. Other news that broke out this past week in regards to the second line center, George McPhee came out and said the guy that they are going with, they're deciding that Brooks Like is going to be that second line center. What are your thoughts on that?
As much as I like Brooks Like, I don't like it. I don't think it was a good idea. I think it was interesting that McPhee compared him to guys like Mike Fisher and David Backes and Mike Richards. I don't think you can make the comparison. It's not just because Like's had injury problems, because some of the other guys have as well. But his offensive numbers aren't as good. His face-off percentage numbers aren't as good as those guys. I don't think Brooks Like, on a good, talented team that has a chance to win a Stanley Cup, is your second-line center. Maybe he's a winger. I think he's better suited with his skill set for the third line, whether it's at the center spot or on the wing. I think this is sort of his way of saving money and to some extent saving face when he didn't want to pay Mike Ribeiro as much as he got from the Phoenix Coyotes, which he got a 4-year deal at $5.5 million per year, which I do think was a lot for Ribeiro. I think especially towards the end of that contract, he's going to be making his cap is going to be a lot higher than they want it to be. But, I don't like as Brooks Like. I still think there's a chance that they're going to go out and sign someone like Mikhail Grabowski or potentially even make a trade. But I think if they go into the season with Like as their second line center, I hope I'm wrong. I hope he goes out and he proves me wrong and he plays like one of his old season where he's able to score a ton of points. I think he's going to have the teammates to get it done. My guess is, or at least line mates to get it done. I think he's going to go out and he's going to be on a line with Martin Irette and Troy Brouwer, which I don't think is a bad line. I just don't think that's a line that is going to win you a lot of games in the playoffs or the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, this is going to be something different to see. A lot of people were saying that Matty P was going to be the guy to have that second line center job, but going forward. But George McPhee comes out and says that it's not Matty P, it's Brooks Like. Brooks Like is a very versatile player. We saw him, I believe it was 2 seasons ago. He didn't really play a lot this past season, but they needed a defenseman. They were on the road, and there were a lot of defensemen that were injured. He played. He was a defenseman one game. So the guy is all over the place. But if he's going to be the second line center, he's got to be a strong offensive player. So I think that's something that Brooks Like is completely capable of. I think he's a very talented guy, and I think that he loves hockey, and he would do anything that his team asks him to do. So I think him knowing that now that he's the second line center, I think this entire offseason he's probably going to be spending a lot of his time working on face-offs and what he has to do, and to get that training camp's going to be a big big deal for getting the chemistry together for Troy Brower, Martin Erat, and Brooks Legg. But if those guys can work well together, if they gel well together, that's going to be a pretty powerful line. But only time will tell if it actually works out.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of how it has to be right now. I mean, the thing is with McPhee is that he never tells you the whole story. He never tells you the exact truth. So he can come out and say, yeah, I think Brooks Legg's going to be our second line center, and that's what we're going to do going forward. And then the next day he's going to go out and trade for somebody or sign somebody. I believe he did the same thing last year before picking up Mike Rivera. He came out and he said, I don't really envision us making a lot of moves. And then, bam, he goes and he makes a move. So you never really know what the guy's going to do. So I'm sort of still waiting to see if he's going to make an addition to the team. I think when you sign a guy like Carl Olsen to the deal that he did, you leave yourself a lot of cap space to be able to go out and make another move. I still think there's the opportunity for them to potentially move Michael Neuwirth. I was kind of surprised he wasn't dealt at the trade. I'm sorry, at the draft. You could potentially even move a guy like a Joel Ward or even a Jason Chimera if you want to free up. Chimera doesn't have a huge cap hit, but that would still be a little bit of money off the board. Or you can even move, I mean, I think he's going to get signed. I don't think he's going anywhere, but you could move a guy like a Marcus Johansson to try and free up that cap space that you would potentially have to use on him. Because let's look at it realistically. If you move Marcus Johansson, you could bump Martin Erat up to the first line. You don't really lose that much production. And depending on what you got for Johansson, your team could certainly get a lot better in the end. I think these are possibilities for McPhee to do. I don't believe him when he says they're done making moves. I still think he's going to be out there looking to make his team better because I don't see how he can compare the Capitals roster as it is right now to a team like Chicago or even the Bruins that were fighting for the Cup and won the Cup last season.
Yeah, this is something that George McPhee is kind of known for. You know, the trade, the free agency opened up this past week, and George McPhee remained silent pretty much. He signed a couple AHL guys for depth, but that was it. I mean, a lot of Capital fans were hoping that he was going to sign one of these big names coming out there, but this is where one of my gripes comes up with George McPhee. If we're going to let's talk a little bit about free agency here. Mike Ribeiro's gone. He left and he went to Phoenix. He got a big 4-year deal, and he said the main reason was because of the coaching staff he already knew there. But he said his first choice was Washington. He wanted to stay in Washington and play here. Here's the big thing with George McPhee. We've seen Alex Semin, you know, skip out and go to Carolina, and we've seen Mike Ribeiro leave and go to Phoenix. We haven't seen anything come back in return. Adam Vingan brought this up on Twitter. How does a front office feel that you're letting all these big players go and they're getting these giant contracts from other teams, but you couldn't trade for draft picks, you couldn't do this, you couldn't trade for someone else? It seems like a lot of the time this George McPhee and the guys are kind of leaving these spots open with no return. They're just losing money. But again, you see what happened with Carl Alsner. Maybe letting Mike Ribeiro go and not getting someone in return brought in a little bit more money, so you could sign a guy like Carl Alsner to a longer, maybe a 4-year deal instead of a 2-year deal. But Adam Vingan brought up a very good point. Mike Ribeiro is gone, and he's a guy that you probably could have traded out and got something in return, but it's these guys are leaving, and it's just leaving DC bare. So I kind of want to ask you, do you think this is a strategy thing with George McPhee, or do you think he's trying to negotiate all the way down to the wire and these just aren't working out?
I think it's a situation where the cap ceiling dropped by $6 million. You have to make moves, and I think if that wasn't the case, I do think that Ribeiro would have been back, as would have Matt Hendricks. I think because the cap drops, so you have to make these moves. In a salary cap world, you have to figure out what your core group is, and then you have to continually replace the pieces around it. So when guys like Matt Hendricks end up getting too expensive, just like we saw with Matt Bradley before, he ended up getting too expensive. They let him go and they kept Hendricks. Now they let Hendricks go and they're going to replace him with someone like Tom Wilson until he gets better, or Michael Lotta, or Aaron Volpatti, or some of these guys until they get too expensive, and then they'll move them out. Although I do think Tom Wilson will eventually become part of the core of this team. So I think this thing we're going to constantly be seeing. We saw it happen with a lot of other teams. There's been a lot of free agents getting moved around, a lot of people getting bought out, and things like that happening. So I think especially with this offseason, but then the cap ceiling will go up a little bit next year and the year after that and the year after that. So we'll see less of it, but I still think that we're going to see players getting moved around.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be a lot of players going around. I am very sad to see Matt Hendricks leave. He was a very talented guy for the Capitals. He's a hockey player's hockey player, I guess. He always had that grit and determination to play. Nashville really got themselves a great player for their team, and we might see Matt Hendricks, you know, sooner rather than later, because Nashville is one of the preseason opponents for the Capitals in September. So it'll be interesting to see what happens when he gets back to the phone booth. But besides Matt Hendricks, Jeff Schultz also leaving the Capitals. He was actually bought out for his last contract, and he was
finally
he's not wearing that red in D.C. anymore. He's hitting the road, and he's going to the West Coast, and he's actually going to be playing with the L.A. Kings, which I mean, good for Jeff Schultz, but I think even better for the Capitals.
I have absolutely no. I mean, I don't know Jeff Schultz as a person, but as a player, I thought he was a waste with his cap hit of $2.75 million. There's no point in keeping him around. Boot him out, bring in somebody else, and they'll work out perfectly fine. And bring in somebody else because he wasn't playing to begin with. But it looks like, I mean, he had a cap hit of $2.75 million. He basically replaced his cap hit with Carl Alsner's, which is just a little bit more than Alsner. So I think it was a great thing all around. I have no problems with him leaving. With Hendricks leaving, I was sad to see him go. I'll still wear the T-shirt I have with his name on the back. I still think he was a great player for this team, but I think he got overpaid for his skill set in Nashville. You know, and it's just kind of the way things are going to be. I think Nashville got a great player, even if they overpaid for him, and I think he'll do well there. But I think the Caps will be able to replace him, at least on the ice, with one of the guys I mentioned before, like Volpatti, Wilson, or Michael Latta.
Yeah, so there's a lot of different movements going around. Just kind of the way it started, you know, in January with this shortened season, I think we're going to see a lot of fresh faces. It's going to be pretty much you'll get your normal guys like you're supposed to always see, like Ovi and Backstrom, but there's going to be a lot of new guys that you're going to have to learn their names and numbers to figure out who's actually on the ice. But be interesting coming up in the next few months when this season gets started. But let's talk about some of the rookies, man. Right now, we're in the midst of developmental camp down in Kettler, and we've got a lot of the guys that the Capitals drafted. Is there anyone in this draft class that really stood out to you that the Capitals were able to go after? Because George McPhee went up to the podium on his first draft pick and was like, and number 23, this is who we pick. And that was it. Like, he didn't even...
The dude doesn't play.
No, it wasn't like, we're so happy, thank you so much, Newark, for hosting us. And
I hate when teams do that. We'd like to thank the city of Newark and the New Jersey Devils for hosting. Congratulations to Chicago and a great job done by... Just shut up and make the pick. Stop talking about... And stop thanking everybody, okay? You know what? You can send out a tweet thanking everybody or send them an email, or you can even write a nice handwritten letter thank you card to the team. Make your damn pick so the draft doesn't take 4 hours for one freaking round. It drove me crazy. I like them. If he goes up there, watch the Capitals select, and you just, okay, we got it. We're done. He does a little wink thing that he does sometimes, and then we roll out. We don't need all this crap going on. I do think it was funny that the announcers kind of laughed at it. Like, oh, he just got the pick real done. Good. Everybody should be doing that. It's really annoying. But I do like the pick. They picked, what was it, Austrian-born but Swedish forward. That really confused me when they picked him up. I was trying to figure out where he was from. They picked up forward Andre Burakowski with their first pick. What was it? 23rd. 23rd overall. Thank you very much. I totally blanked on that one. I thought it was interesting. McPhee said that he will take a few years before coming over. It looks like he's going to be playing in Sweden next season. I don't think this is a thing where he'll be playing 1 year in Sweden and then coming over to the U.S., but who knows? That may change. But I think this is a guy that they sort of picked up that looking down the line, maybe two, at least 2 years is the possibility of three, but probably just 2 years before he comes over and plays with the Caps. I don't think maybe he'll play with Hershey someday, but maybe not. We don't really know. The guy I'm actually kind of more interested in right now is our second round pick, Madison Bowie. This is a defenseman who I actually think was a great pickup. I was reading a lot of things about him that I really liked. I think he's one of those guys that you pick up that actually turns out to be a very solid player for this team. Maybe a third or fourth pairing player in the second or third pairing player in the future. I think it could be great. You know, maybe you could see him in the future with someone like John Carlson. I think they say he's an offensive defenseman, but he likes to hit, so that's certainly not a problem. So I definitely like that pickup. And then I was surprised to see them actually trade a bunch of their draft picks to pick up, I think, Zach Sanford, who I believe he's a winger, and he's a big winger. He's this big guy. I think they really liked the opportunity to pick him up and bring him in. They traded something like 3 draft picks in this draft to be able to go up and take him, which I thought was an interesting move by George McPhee. I think if he's going to move 3 draft picks, he certainly likes the player he had the opportunity to pick up. I think that was a good deal. They also went out and picked up defenseman Blake Heinrich, center Brian Pinho, and defenseman Tyler Lewington in the draft. So they made a couple of moves. Those are some of the guys that I'm looking forward to seeing at developmental camp on Saturday. But Tom Wilson is there. I want to see how he's doing. I hear he's a lot bigger than last year, and I think he's a lot more comfortable than last year. And I believe
he played in the Stanley Cup playoffs. He ought to be fine at developmental camp.
Help a little bit. But I read, and we can edit this out if I'm wrong, but I believe I read that Tom Wilson has actually been showing Andre Burakovsky around town. He's been making sure that he makes it to practice on time and to developmental camp on time. He's been sort of taking around. I believe he actually made him his first American meal the other day, a nice dish of macaroni and cheese.
Ah, very American.
It was very nice of him. He made that for him, which I thought was great. But yeah, I think it's nice to see Wilson there. He's sort of one of the veterans at this camp now. Another interesting thing about developmental camp is that my buddy from last year, Sergei Kostenko, was actually invited back by the Capitals. So maybe he's going to try and make his mark back in the U.S. and try and play potentially in Hershey or Reading next season, depending on what the Capitals do with Michael Neuwirth and Philip Grubauer. So we'll see what happens, but I'm very excited to go to developmental camp on Saturday to watch a lot of these young guys play and see if there's anybody that maybe has the opportunity to do something at training camp.
Yes, this is one of my favorite things to go to in the summer. I absolutely love the fan fest that these guys throw on for the last scrimmage. If you can't make it down to Kettler, make sure you tune in to WashingtonCapitals.com or MonumentalSportsNetwork.com, I believe is the address. And, of course, the guy who gave us our first interview, John Walton, he's going to be doing your play-by-play for the last scrimmage coming from Kettler. If you can't make it, you can watch it live on the web, I believe, at 10 a.m. on Saturday morning. Now, if you are going to be there, make sure you go to WashingtonCaps.com. They're going to give you all kinds of stuff, telling you what's going on. Of course, the top layer of the garage is closed because there's going to be, you know, bouncy houses and all kinds of stuff, street hockey for kids to play. There's going to be face painting. I'm sure Rod Langway is going to be hanging out, you know, signing autographs, kissing babies, that type of stuff. And of course, at 10:30, you get to meet and get an autograph from Stephen Oleski if you're smart enough and stand in line early on so you can meet him, because that line gets really long. And then, of course, they're having their annual equipment sale, and the pro store is having their big clearance sale on. You can buy all your Semin jerseys, or anybody who recently left. You'll get really cheap shirts with these players that are gone.
Yeah, I kind of wish I hadn't bought a Hendrick shirt before, because now I could have gotten it for cheaper. Yeah,
you could have gotten it for like $10.
That's the kind of thing I should have thought ahead. That will.
So that's always a lot of fun. It seemed like George McPhee, except for the one player that he kind of traded a lot of picks away, he never seems like the draft is his kind of bag. It seems like he just kind of does it. Maybe it's because Ovechkin was the one of the early picks for the Capitals, or the early pick for the Capitals that they've ever had. But they're normally in that 21-26 range of a draft class. So you're getting players that are pretty good, but they're not going to be NHL ready in 2 to 3 years. And I think George McPhee knows that. And I think that he doesn't see somebody coming in right away and making a big change. And he's a guy who seems like he wants, you know, like instant rewards, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, when you pick, it's not like the NBA draft or even the NFL draft where these guys are probably going to come out and make their mark the next season. Once you're out of the top, I don't know, 3 or 4 or 5 picks, It's really then at that point it becomes a case of, all right, so let's see how these guys maybe will develop in the future and we'll go from there, kind of a thing. That's just sort of the way the NHL draft is. When you have 7 rounds, I mean, you're going to have guys that aren't going to be playing for your team for a long time, especially when you're picking guys just out of high school that are going to be going to college.
Yeah, so we'll see what happens. Hopefully these guys do pretty well on Saturday and everybody has a good time. I'm excited to see what these guys do on scrimmage. So I think that's is there any other Caps news going on?
We got a little bit of news. The Caps re-signed Thomas Kondratik to a 2-year extension. I thought that was a great pickup, and I certainly expect to see him playing in D.C. this upcoming season. The Caps also signed defenseman David Kolomatis to a 1-year deal. You remember him for taking a cheap shot at Jason Chimera last season, so that'll be a really awkward time in training camp. They're both walking around, hey, that kind of a thing. Caps re-signed Peter LeBlanc to a 1-year deal. He played with Hershey last season. I fully expect him to play there next year. Speaking of potential deals for Hershey, the Caps also have signed defenseman Tyson Strachan, forward Matt Watkins, and goalie David, it's either Leggio or Leggio, I have no idea, to 1-year deals. My guess, it sounds like Danny Sabourin will not be back with the organization next season. Looks like that's all of the interesting Washington Capitals news from the, what, past 2 weeks.
Past 2 weeks, that's right. plenty of movement going on. Pretty much, I unless I'm wrong, I don't think there's anything really worth noting going on in Hershey or Reading. So, no reason to go up 83. Why don't we just go around the NHL? All right, well, there's plenty of stuff going on. Free agency has been in full effect since Friday. There's been a lot of moves going on around in the NHL. So, Coach Dan, catch us up. Let us know what's going on.
We've had a ton of things going on around the NHL. Let's start with a little signing news. Boston re-signed Tuukka Rask to an 8-year, $56 million deal. Do you got paid? Kip, the cap hit comes out to $7 million for a goalie. Good luck with that one, Boston, with the cap ceiling dropping where it is. Also in Boston. Now, this took a little while, but Jerome Iginla has finally made his way to the Bruins, signing a one-year deal. As you will remember, at the trade deadline, it looked like Iginla was on his way to Boston when all of a sudden he went, you know what, never mind, I think I want to go play for Pittsburgh. And then they got swept by the Bruins in the playoffs. Detroit signed longtime Senator Daniel Alfredson and former Florida Panthers Stephen Weiss to deals. Weiss was one of those guys I was kind of hoping the Caps would go after, but I guess that wasn't the case. Toronto overspent on a ridiculous amount for David Clarkson. Clarkson's a good player, but Toronto way overpaid for him. Nathan Horton, who said he wanted to be in a quieter hockey town, could not have found a quieter one. He actually ended up signing in Columbus. Valtteri Filppula went from Detroit to Tampa Bay for 5 years. I don't really know why you would leave Detroit to go to Tampa Bay, but to each their own, I guess. Actually, it's interesting. Isn't Tampa Bay going to be in the same division as Detroit next year? Which is kind of funny in itself. But that should be interesting when he returns there. New Jersey actually did really well so far in the offseason. They signed Ryan Klo and Michael Ryder. And then perennial douchebag Matt Cook has signed with Minnesota. I don't know why the Wild would go out and make that move, although I guess they did trade Cal Clutterbuck, so maybe that's kind of why they wanted to bring in another sort of agitator, although Cook is a bit more of, as I mentioned, a douchebag. Derek Roy actually ended up signing with the St. Louis Blues, and Montreal signed center Danny Briere. Now, I was making this joke earlier that all Montreal needs to do is sign another short player, and they can have Danny Briere, Brian Gianna, and then another short guy. Maybe they'll go out and get Nathan Gerby and have the shortest line in the history of the NHL. Pittsburgh brought back former defenseman Rob Scuderi, which actually I thought was a good pickup for them, and to replace Ray Emery, who signed with Philadelphia, as their backup goalie, Chicago signed Nikolai Hobby-Bulin. He actually returns to Chicago, which I thought was a good deal for them. And some interesting trades, Bobby Ryan, who, yes, I wanted to come to the Capitals, although now I think it would be a little bit overkill, unless he decides to suddenly play center. Bobby Ryan was sent to Ottawa for Jakob Silverberg, even though there's an F in his name. That doesn't make sense. Stefan Noesen and a first-round pick in 2014. I do think the Capitals could have made a very similar deal as this one to pick up Bobby Ryan. Although I don't know exactly what they would have been, but I'm sure Marcus Johansson would have had to have been included. I don't know how good a prospect Noesen is, but I still think the Caps could have made that deal back in the day. And then today, Edmonton acquired David Perrin from St. Louis for Magnus Ponjarvi and a second-round pick in 2014. New Jersey traded Henrik Talinder, or Talinder, depending on what year you ask him, to Buffalo for Riley Boychuk. And New Jersey also picked up in one of probably the biggest trades so far this offseason. They picked up Corey Schneider from Vancouver for a first-round pick in this previous 2013 NHL draft. I think everyone was surprised that Corey Schneider was the one that ended up getting traded when it looked like for years now that that Roberto Luongo was going to be making his way out of Vancouver. So that's got to be a little awkward now that he's their number one guy after they kept talking about how he would end up getting traded. And it was always to Toronto. I mean, Toronto's always been looking for a goalie. They got Bernier now. We'll see who they go after next season. Minnesota sent Devin Setoguchi to Winnipeg for a second-round pick in 2014. And a pretty big deal, Boston sent Tyler Seguin, Rich Peverly, and Ryan Button to Dallas for Louis Erickson, Joe Morrow, who Dallas picked up in the Brendan Morrow trade, Riley Smith, and Matt Frazier. And then Tyler Seguin went out and claimed that his Twitter got hacked after he made some homophobic slurs on his Twitter account. Way to go, Tyler Seguin, you idiot. And then after being traded to the Islanders for Niederreiter, Kyle Clutterbuck signed a 4-year extension with the, I'm going to guess, maybe soon be the Brooklyn Islanders, although they say they're going to stay with the same name. And then in the NHL draft, Colorado took Nathan MacKinnon first overall after everyone thought that it was going to be Seth Jones, followed by Alexander Barkov to Florida, Jonathan Drouin to Tampa Bay, and Seth Jones, actually, who they thought was going to be the number one guy for a long time, fell to fourth and actually went to Nashville. That's pretty much all of the interesting NHL news from the past 2 weeks.
Man, a lot of different moves. There's still a few players out there that have not been picked up yet. Jaromir Jagr is one. It looks like the Carolina Hurricanes are somewhat interested in him, but nothing has been signed yet. And a guy trying to make
Jagr and Semin on the same team?
That would be interesting.
Oh, my God.
And another guy, Tim Thomas, trying to make a comeback. And again, no one's really picked him up either. You know, those are two really big names still sitting out there in free agency. A little bit of we should have brought this up in Caps News. I just saw this, but Carl Alsner officially back on Twitter. Officially back on Twitter at Carl Alsner. Decided he'd get that big 4-year contract and was like, hey, it's time to open up the Twitterverse again. So that's very interesting. And I don't know if you saw this. This is a little bit of teen gossip here, Coach Dan. Justin Bieber got his picture taken with the Stanley Cup. And he threw quite a shockwave out in the hockey world. And he's Canadian. He should know better than this. But he got his picture taken holding or touching the Stanley Cup. And then there's a picture of him taking a picture of the Stanley Cup, and he's actually stepping on the Blackhawks logo that's on the carpet in the locker room, which, as we all know...
Oh, my God.
Big no-no. You do not step on the logo of the team in the locker room. That is... Usually that's, like, roped off, but there's Bieber standing right in the center.
Such a putt.
Somebody tweeted a picture and was like, what happened to this Bruins flat cap that you were wearing throughout the playoffs? What happened to that? Now you just love the Blackhawks.
You see him and he's wearing a Miami Heat hat and he had a Lakers hat one night. You just freaking pick a team, man. Just because you're famous doesn't mean you have to support everybody. Just pick a freaking team, okay? It's not the end of the world. If you're like, oh, no, my team lost. Who cares?
He's a Canadian kid.
And for him... Stop doing what you're doing because you're an idiot.
Somebody needs to teach the kid how to dress. That's very true. I am so old right now for saying that.
You know what? He looks like a putz. He does.
Him wearing that Miami Heat hat, that looked like an idiot. He looked like an astronaut. But, yeah, that kid's crazy. Stick with your team, man. Winnipeg. You're from Winnipeg. You're from Canada. When they came back, you were all happy. You and your girlfriend wore 6'9 jerseys. Ha ha. It's hilarious. 6'9. But yeah, you stick with Winnipeg. You're fine. So I think that's it. So we're pretty much done the show. Kind of a quick one this time around. But that's the way it is in the summer, man. There's only so much we can talk about. I don't think we really want to step on the Russian machine never breaks toes and bring up the fact that Ovi vacationed with his girlfriend in a giant presidential suite, sitting in a gold chair. We don't have to talk about that.
What?
And yeah, that's the stories that we have.
I just saw the picture.
Yeah,
he's in the off season.
He's he's the king, man. He's the game. Winter is coming, Game of Thrones style.
Nice reference.
So that's pretty much it for What the Puck this week. Now, of course, if you want to talk hockey with myself or Coach Dan, we're both on Twitter. You can follow me at Brando Cash. You can follow the show at WTP_podcast. But Coach Dan, he's on Twitter as well. Where can people follow you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. You can also find me at CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan run website. Actually, an article come out, about a week ago about the offseason. I called the summer upon them. You should go check it out and all the other great stories at CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, what about the Brando Cash Network?
That's right. If you want to learn more about the Brando Cash Network, all you have to do is go to Facebook.com/BrandoCash. Like us over there. Football season is coming up pretty soon. First preseason game less than a month away, and the call will be coming back very shortly. So if you're a Baltimore Ravens fan, of course, listen to the call. And just like the call, What the Puck is available on many different platforms. You can listen to the show on Stitcher Radio if you have an Android phone. You can go over to iTunes if you have an Apple product in any way. Go over to the podcast app on your iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch. You can download What the Puck, and once you click subscribe, it'll get downloaded straight to your device, or you can go the old-fashioned way on your laptop, go through iTunes and click subscribe through your iTunes as well. Now, of course, we are a fan-supported podcast. We're by the fans, for the fans. We're not the hockey media. We're just fans who like talking about hockey and letting you hear those conversations. So the biggest thing you can do to help us, because we give this to you completely for free, is to let somebody know about the show. Now, I don't care if this is you just talking to your buddy, saying you got to listen to this show, texting it to somebody, or be social. Do whatever you can. All you have to do is let people know on Facebook, on Twitter, on Tumblr, on Pinterest, on Vine, on Reddit. For some reason, I keep getting spammed on Reddit, and they don't let me post the shows there anymore. I don't know why, but I think it's mean, and they should let me post the shows since I'm a fan. But anyway, post it for me and let them know that they should listen to What the Puck, since we're such a fun show and you miss hockey just as much as us. So let people know that they should be listening to What the Puck. So pretty much that's it for this week. Hopefully Coach Dan and I get to see you on Saturday at Developmental Camp. If you do spot us, let us know that you're a fan. Let us know that you enjoy the show. We'll talk about you. We'll do a little interview with you. And we might have some spare What the Puck t-shirts that we could hand out if Stephen Oleski says no to our interview. So there might be some left over. So anyway, this has been What the Puck. Thank you so much for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman.
Devoted to the Washington Capitals. Also have a little Hershey Bears and Reading Royals news if we need in there as well.
Do you want to re-record that because you said Reading Royals?
Or oh, God damn it.
Are you okay with saying Reading Royals?
I couldn't repeat it, and I thought it was pretty good, so just let it go. We'll use it as a whoops.
Yeah.
I made a funny.
Reading? Reading Rainbow.
The Reading Royals.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book. Reading Rainbow. Reading Rainbow.
Holy crap, that actually went really well at the end. I don't think I could ever repeat it the same way.
Did I really say Reading Royals?
You said Reading, not Reading.
Oh, it's Reading. God damn it. Can I say Reading Royals right now, and you can sort of like substitute that in?
Yeah, I could try to. So give yourself like 2 seconds of silence on the beginning
and
the end.
Yeah, on the front and the back.
Yeah.
All right. Reading Royals.
That's what you said, yes.
So was that good?
It's Reading.
Damn it! Son of a bitch!